From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome once more to the program. I'm glad you're able to tune in and join with us today, and I'd like you to stay for the next quarter hour as the Reverend James Porter is letting the Bible speak from John's Gospel chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But before we hear the message based on that verse, let's take just a few moments and listen to these words in song.
Hear the heart like Jesus, by His presence all divine, true and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call Him mine! All that thrills my soul is Jesus.
Good morning. Our Bible reading for today is from John 19, verse 30, where it says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished,' and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." The words of this verse take us to Calvary, the place where Christ was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And from this verse we see that it is the place where Christ cried out, "It is finished." Now when Christ uttered these words, he was uttering a cry of triumph and jubilation. It was the cry of the victim who had become the victor, for this cry, "It is finished," literally means to be accomplished or to have paid in full. With this cry, Christ was proclaiming that his sufferings and work on earth was done, and by that work a way to God and heaven had been provided. And by this word he was telling that there is a great salvation for every repentant sinner who trusts in Christ as Saviour. This great work of doing all that was needed for our salvation meant the completion of a number of things in Christ's part, and it is those things that I want us to think about today. First of all, the cry, "It is finished," meant the fulfillment of all the prophecies concerning his life and death. If one takes time to read the Bible, they will see that the Old Testament prophecies are fulfilled in the New Testament. And this proves to us that the Bible is true, And this is because God himself is true, and it shows to us that if God predicts a thing, it will most surely come to pass. And this is how it was with the Lord Jesus Christ. From the Old Testament, God said many things concerning the life and death of his Son, and these were literally fulfilled during Christ's life in the New Testament. Therefore, when Christ cried, "It is finished," he was saying that all the Old Testament prophecies regarding his life and death had now been completed. In Genesis 3, verse 15, we have the first prophecy concerning Christ, and there the Lord speaks to Satan, and he says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The seed of the woman here refers to Christ. The bruising of his heel by Satan foretells of his sufferings, and this took place at the cross. Also in Isaiah 53, verse 3, verse 7 and 12, it was prophesied that Christ would be despised and rejected of men. It says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And all these things came to pass in his life when he died at the cross. You can read about them in the Gospels. Thus the cry, "It is finished," shows that every prophecy concerning his life and death has now been accomplished. This fact that the Old Testament prophecies concerning his life and death have been accomplished remind us also that every prophecy regarding his second coming will also be accomplished. In John 14, Christ said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Acts 17 tells us that God have appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And my friend, if you're to be sure of heaven when Christ returns and be delivered from eternal judgment and hell, then you must be saved. And the only way that you can be saved is for you to trust in Christ as a repentant sinner. John 6, verse 47 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life." The Bible says, "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." If you're to be ready, you must be born again. Yes, these words, "It is finished," remind us that all the prophecies concerning Christ shall be fulfilled. Then secondly, the cry, "It is finished," reminds us that the ceremonial sacrifices and priesthood of the Old Testament are now also finished. In relation to what Christ accomplished at the cross, Colossians 2 verse 14 speaks of the blotting out of the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And these words teach how the Old Testament sacrifices and priesthood were done away with by the death of Christ. Thus, when Christ died and cried out, "It is finished," he was saying that there was no longer any need for the Old Testament priesthood, its ceremonies, and its sacrifices. This is because his sacrifice was sufficient and complete to make a way of salvation. Hebrews 10, verse 12, bears testimony to this fact, for it says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." And this fact that the Old Testament priesthood and sacrifices are redundant would also highlight to us that it is not by the rites or ceremonies of any church that a person is saved. My friend, if you're to be saved, you must trust alone in Christ and in his once for all sacrifice for sin. And it's to Christ alone that you must confess your sins to. It is only through Christ alone that you can find peace with God, reconciliation and acceptance with God. Does not the Bible say in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus"? Then finally the cry, "It is finished," teaches us that all the sufferings of Christ are now over. In Isaiah 53, Christ is given the most fitting title of the man of sorrows, and truly he was a man of sorrows, for at the cross he suffered from the hands of men, from the hand of Satan, and even from the hand of God his Father. In a bygone day, someone once painted a picture of Christ as a boy in the carpenter's shop in Nazareth. That picture depicts him standing before a window with his hands stretched out to either side of him. And as the sun shines through the window, it reflects the shadow of a cross and the wall behind him. And that picture really illustrates how Christ lived in the scene of time. He lived in the shadow of the cross all the days of his earthly life. At the wedding of Cana, he said, "My time is not yet come." That time was the cross. Speaking to Nicodemus, he said, "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." This lifting up was the cross. In conversation with James and John, he told how he must take the cup of suffering and baptism of sorrow. In Matthew 16, verse 21, it says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." These words all tell us how Christ lived in the shadow of his sufferings on the cross. Then whenever he gets to Gethsemane, we're told that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. After this he was betrayed, and he faced unjust trials where he was scourged, buffeted, spat upon, and crowned with thorns. Then he is taken to a hill outside Jerusalem, and there he is nailed to a Roman cross between heaven and earth. There the crowd mock him. Then the darkness of heaven falls, and for 3 hours he is forsaken of God. These are sufferings he partook of while his blood is shed as a ransom for our sin. And by his sufferings, God's wrath against us for our sin has been appeased. The debt of our sin has been paid for. The just demands of God's law have been satisfied. 1 John 2 verse 2 says, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And when Christ cried out, "It is finished," he was saying that all his suffering for sin was now over, never to be repeated. And the reason why he partook of such awful sufferings was to provide a way for a poor, lost, hell-deserving sinner like you and I to be saved from our sin and all its ruin. The Bible says this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus come into the world to save sinners. As he went to the awful cross of suffering and shame, he did so out of love. Indeed, the Bible says, "But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Unsaved listener, the truth of the matter is this: all that you need to have your sins forgiven and be saved from a lost eternity in hell is found in Christ alone, and in his finished work alone upon the cross. Also, it must be said that all you need to be saved from the pollution and the power of sin in your life is found in Christ and in his finished work alone. This is why the Lord himself says, "Look unto me and be ye saved." Oh, your salvation has not been any work that you or anyone else may do. No, it is only by the finished work of Christ alone, who cried out, "It is finished." Therefore, may you come today to Christ and be saved. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53, 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53, 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So, do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.